So today we are concluding our series that we began several weeks ago on marriage. And this morning, to do that, I want to address marriages that have worked for the long haul. We've all seen marriages that began where we're worried. I don't know if they're going to make it for the long haul. I saw an excerpt from Reader's Digest, and it read this way: "My sister went to the department store to check out the bridal registry of our niece, whose wedding was coming up soon. When my sister returned from the store, she tossed the gift list on the table and declared, 'I really think she's too young to get married.' 'Well, why would you say that?' I asked. 'Because they registered for Xbox games.'" You ever gone to a wedding suspecting, as you're sitting in the crowd watching this take place, that this couple is going to have a really hard time staying together? Think about the 72-day marriage of Kim Kardashian. Came out later that she simply did the whole thing to profit from magazine photo deals. The truth of the matter is, none of us who got married knew what it was that we were getting into. None of us fully appreciated the challenges, the daunting expectations, and the need to personally grow, to personally change, to personally adjust. None of us really knew what it was that was going to take for us to make it in our marriage. One of the things that has happened for a lot of us, that's helped many of us, is that when we looked out, there were some faithful marriages that we could look to that were models for us to imitate. It's been a number of years, but we have a wedding video, my wife and I, and over the years I've looked back at the wedding video, and it's kind of sad to see what a geeky nerd I was. My wife looked so pretty, and we were both so young and dumb. And every time I watch that wedding video, I wonder how we made it through that first year of our marriage, because there was a lot of conflict. Now, it hits me, though, as I watch that video, the guy who was filming the wedding video for my wife and I, that was my grandpa. He was not a professional videographer, because we got a lot of shots of the church floor in Kewaunee, whole bunch of the ceiling, back of people's heads, but he got the good stuff. And I look at that, and I know, you know, my marriage began because my grandpa was an example of a marriage that made it, that lasted. That's how my wife and I have made it, because difficult as it actually got, we kind of knew in our mind, we can't quit. We had been given something, a heritage to uphold, something that we've seen in Bob and Linda, who've experienced over 50 years now in marriage. And, you know, Linda, she was really old. She's young now. And I hope, honestly, genuinely, that you've been given such a heritage of other marriages that you could look to and say, you know what, they made it. I want that. There are, I think, common traits in marriages that make it that I kind of want to just unpack for us today. But first, to lay it out on the table, there is a misconception, maybe a myth, that we need to expose. And it goes something like this, and that is that marathon marriages just don't have any real problems. That's the reason some people are able to stay together for so long, because they didn't really go through the stuff that I went through. And only people looking for excuses would ever consider credible that kind of silly propaganda. Because the truth is, there is not one person who has ever lived happily ever after. Certain marriages have not been selected out of some kind of a cosmic lottery where it said, you know what, this marriage is going to not have any big problems, and well, that marriage will. Every marriage faces storms. I don't want some of the storms that your marriage has had to deal with. And you don't want some of the storms that my marriage has had to deal with. It is the foundation that makes the difference. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about the foolish man and the wise man, and he says that some people build their house on a good foundation, some people build their house on a bad foundation, and then he says this, and when the rain comes. And the point is, it doesn't really matter how you build your house, the rains are going to come. Storms come to every home. But some make it, and some don't, because of how the house was actually built. Fred Smith was a very successful businessman. In the second half of his life, he devoted himself to mentoring Christian ministers. And he was asked one time about any special memories that he had. And in particular, he had this one treasured memory that he shared. It took place in a little donut shop in Texas, of all places. And he was driving through. He stopped in that morning to get some coffee and a donut. And he was in the coffee shop, you know, donut shop, just enjoying his cup of coffee. And he noticed in the booth right next to him was this young couple. And the man stood up, putting on his jacket, getting ready to leave. And the woman just sat there, the young gal. And then he realized, because she didn't really move at all, and the husband bent down, and she put her arms around his neck, and he scooped her up, picked her up, and began to carry her. And she was in a full body cast. And the entire donut shop went quiet as he carries this woman to the door, and he backs out the door. And he takes her to his pickup truck and opens the door and puts her in gently. And finally, that silence in that donut shop was broken by the waitress, who goes, "Wow." Because it became kind of a holy moment. Now, that's a guy that took his vow seriously. We live in this nation of quitters. The reigning ethic of our culture is, I will love you if. Not, I will love you even if. I will love you even if you gain weight. Thank God that my wife chose that. I will love you even if you go bald. I will love you even if you don't make as much money as a guy I could have married. I will love you even if your mom drives me nuts, said other people. Now, we are a culture that says, I love you if, and the tragic loss of that kind of mentality and ethic is that we have lost the incredible joy that comes from going the distance. Maybe you worked your way through some really difficult degree program, or maybe you took up running and you ran a long distance race. We all know that there is a kind of joy that happens in our life when we work hard and go through something that's tough. The Bible talks about this in regard to discipleship. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, but the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. You got to have a good heart, but you also have to persevere. It is by hanging in there, by enduring, that you experience the joy of anything good in life, even discipleship, Jesus says. And I believe that marriages that make it do so because they are built on a foundation that will endure. And the scripture says that only three things actually are going to endure. And those three things need to be the foundation of your life. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what they are. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And I want a marriage that will make you build a home that's built on those three things. So write this down. First thing, marathon marriages must subdue their worries by faith. And I think anxiety robs more homes of joy than infidelity even. And any married couple can find all kinds of reasons to worry. That's one reason that we have vows. We said, I will stick with you for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. We said, in the face of a future I can't really know and I can't control, I'm going to be loyal to you. That's why we took our vows. We can't know the future and we can't control the future. So you can live by faith and face it, or you can worry yourself to death about it. And we are a nation of worriers. There is a reason that the top five medications in America, of the top 10 prescription meds in this country, the top five are for anxiety. And if you are married for any length of time, you know there's so many things that you can worry about. Financial pressure. Whether or not you will get the job that you need or keep the job that you have. Health concerns. Raising children. I'm not just talking about keeping your child safe. I mean hoping that your child will grow up and be good. But scripture says the real reason we worry so much is not because our problems are so big, but it's because our faith is so small. Marriages that make it do so because they have decided to live and embrace the bedrock truth that I matter to God. They don't know the future. They can't control the future. But no matter what comes in the future, I know this. I matter to God. We matter to God. Never forget what Peter wrote, the apostle in 1 Peter. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And marriages that make it do not forget that particular verse. Another thing that marriages that make it do is that marathon marriages subject their wounds to hope. Life is hard. Think about the very first married couple. They had to go to the funeral of their own son. Even the best marriages cannot erase the effects of the curse of sin. Even if a marriage is made in heaven, it's got to be lived out here on earth, where it's filled with pain and suffering and hardship until Eden is restored. Why is it that some people are able to walk through their wounds when others just decide to walk out? The answer is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your love, labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." I believe marathon marriages are Easter marriages. They are marriages where the couple believes that no bad thing that happens is ever final. And sorrow doesn't get to have the last word in our marriage. They are marriages who live in the future tense, who believe in the hope of heaven, who set their minds on things that are above, not on earthly things, who interpret life through the lens of hope. Bob Buford wrote a great book called Halftime. And in that book, he argues that most men spend the first half of their life trying to claim success. But he argues the second half should be trying to find significance. What prompted he and his wife on that search in his life was the drowning death of his own son. They were interviewed on Focus on the Family Radio by Dr. James Dobson, and Dobson, several years ago, asked him that question. In view of all the pain that you've been through, how do you make it? And his wife, Liz, said something very profound. She said two things. Number one, I know that I did the best that I could to raise him. And number two, I know that I'm going to see him again. Now, what are you and your mate going to hold on to when the storm gets its very worst? What will you do so that you can walk through instead of walking out? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, the Hebrew author says, We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. See, I want your marriage to live in the future tense. I want you to subdue your worries by faith. I want you to subject your wounds to hope. But as important as faith and hope actually are, there's one thing that's greater than that. Marathon marriages must submit their wills in love. Many of you have heard of pastor, author, speaker Tony Campolo. He just passed away a few weeks back. He was a well-known Christian writer, speaker. But he never claimed to be a marriage counselor, but he did claim that he could fix almost any marriage in 30 days if the married couple will do just one thing. He said, if you would just write down 10 things that you would do for your mate if you truly love them, no holds bar. And if you would do those things, I guarantee you in 30 days, your marriage will be fixed. Whoever thinks that marriage is a 50-50 proposition is a fool, soon headed to divorce court. Marriage is not a partnership where each one promises to do their share. Marriage is a fellowship where each one promises to share everything that they are. That's why I believe divorce among Christians is such a tragedy. That's why I believe that Satan takes such delight in getting Christian couples to divorce, because every single time that happens, it's a clear declaration that at least one, if not both of the mates, refuse to live out the gospel in their lives. And listen, I cannot hide my heart on this, but somebody needs to be passionate about this. Christians should not divorce. Every time Christians divorce, we are declaring to the world that you can pick and you can choose when you're going to live out the gospel in your life. In Christian marriages, there are many funerals that you attend daily as you die to yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. In marriages that make it sacrificial, love is a lifestyle, not just some kind of hobby that you do part-time. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You cannot make it if you are not growing in the love of God. And my prayer would be that you are married to someone who is practicing the love of God. So I want to close the entire series out with this statement that I want you to write down. Marathon marriages make it because they trust the Lord of the Rings. I believe Jesus is the object of our faith. He is the reason for our hope. He is the source of our love. And I bet that you invited him to your wedding. My question is he still welcome in your marriage? Because if he is, then your marriage can make it. And your marriage can become a witness for other generations. Maybe something that you could do today is to call up examples of marathon marriages that you had in your life and just give them a ring and say, you know what, I just want to thank you. Maybe they're already gone and they went to be with Jesus. And maybe what you could do is just say, God, I thank you that you put that example in my life. See, my prayer is that your home and your marriage is one of the strongest gospel sermons that your neighbors will ever see. Jesus cannot be the Lord of your marriage if he is not the Lord of your life. So invite him into your life today. I want to pray over you. Would you stand up? Thank you so much, Father, for being our Lord and reminding us through the wedding rings that we have vowed to stay true to our partner and to you. Help us, God, to have more forgiveness in our marriages. Help us to have more faith, God, more hope, more love. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King, amen.